This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, prayer gatherings will be held in cities and towns across America tomorrow as we mark the 66th annual National Day of Prayer. The chairperson, my friend, Ann Graham Lotz, joins us in just a moment to tell us all about it. Also, a busy week here in Washington, D.C., along with the National Day of Prayer events here in Washington tomorrow. The president is expected to issue an executive order on religious liberty tomorrow morning. Last night, I delivered over 150,000 petitions to the White House, calling on the president to issue the executive order protecting religious freedom. Also, tomorrow, the House is expected to vote on the repeal of Obamacare. They're very close this afternoon, about to assemble the votes. And that includes, by the way, the defunding of Planned Parenthood. And within the last hour, the House approved a $1 trillion spending bill called an omnibus that will fund the government through the end of the fiscal year. Now, the question is the omnibus pro-life and pro-family? Were those measures included? Well, we're going to talk about that with Missouri Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler. She is the chairman of the House Values Action Team, and she'll join us a little bit later here on Washington Watch. And not that we need more motivation to pray, but the volatility of the Middle East was brought to the forefront again yesterday as Iran unsuccessfully attempted to launch a missile from a submarine in the Strait of Hormuz. Do we know what they were up to? Well, that's what I'll ask General Jerry Boykin when he joins us later here on Washington Watch. The website is TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. And hey, let me remind you, especially you pastors, May the 24th through the 26th, Watchman on the Wall, the annual briefing for pastors here in Washington, D.C. We've got a few spots left. And if you're a pastor or you would like your pastor to come, give them the information that's found at TonyPerkins.com. All right, since 1952, Americans have gathered to pray for the country on the first Thursday of May. Well, tomorrow, Americans will participate in the National Day of Prayer from locations all across the nation, including here in our nation's capital. The chairperson for the National Day of Prayer, she's a speaker, best-selling author, founder and president of Angel Ministries, and daughter of Billy Graham, Ann Graham Lotz, is here. Ann, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony. I just always enjoy talking with you. You're a dear friend.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for all that you're doing as you've taken on this additional responsibility of the National Day of Prayer. We were honored to host the men's prayer meeting today here from the National Day of Prayer at the Family Research Council. I had the privilege of speaking to them. And tell our listeners a little bit about this year's theme as you have chosen the theme for your great namesake from Daniel 9:19. Tell our listeners about that.
That's right. You know, Daniel was an Old Testament man who was enslaved in Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar came in and took God's people captive. He had been in slavery for 67 years, and so he was an old man. He was probably in his 80s, and he read a passage of Scripture in Jeremiah that said that after 70 years, God would set his people free. So Daniel prays this magnificent prayer, just praying God's word back to him, just claiming God's promise that after 70 years, that meant 3 years from the day that he was praying, that God would, if he kept his word, that he would set the people free and they could go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city and rebuild the temple. And at the end of his prayer, he just boils down exactly what he's asking for. He wants to go back to the city. He wants the temple rebuilt. But he said, bottom line, it's for the glory of your name. And then he said, hear us and forgive us. And then I just coupled that a little bit with Chronicles 7:14 that says, and heal our land. You know, so that the sub-theme, it's for your great name's sake, hear us, forgive us, heal us. And I selected that theme, Tony, last year. They wanted me to, select it like last summer. And then we had the election, and then we've had the inauguration, then we've had all the stuff that we've had taking place even as recently as May Day. And our nation desperately needs healing, and I believe it's the healing that only God can give as we turn to Him. So National Day of Prayer, I believe this year, maybe more than any other in my recent memory, is very critical. It's absolutely critical that God's people humble themselves, pray, seek His face, and we repent of our sin, that He would hear our prayer, forgive our sin, and that He would heal our land.
I think you're absolutely correct, and that is what needs to happen, is that I believe God's given us a window. I think God has shown us He is hearing our prayers if we will follow through and do what He has called us to do, and as you said, humbling ourselves, repenting of our sins. But that repentance is more than just saying, I'm sorry for what I've done or what we have done, but it's literally changing what we are doing and how we're doing it. So it means that we've got to repent of that sin, meaning we change the way we think and the way we act.
Well, I think we have to be willing to turn away from it, you know, and sometimes people are so gripped by sin they can't change, but they have to be willing to, and that's where God steps in and then helps. But in Joel chapter 2, God says, return to me now. He says, even now. So I think even now, when we're aborting almost 60 million babies, when we're, defying His institution of marriage, when we're doing some of these other things that would be such an affront to Almighty God, He says, even now, if you'll return to me and rend your hearts, and that rending your heart, He says, not rending your garments. So if you say that you're going to pray more and you really want to pray more, but you don't, that's rending your garments. You know, if you say that you're going to get right with God, or you're going to be kind to your neighbor, you're going to be patient with your spouse, and you don't do it, that's rending your garments. And so rending your heart is when you make a commitment to God and you keep it, you follow through. And so He said, if you rend your heart and not your garments and you return to me, then God says, who knows, you know, but that He would return to us and leave behind the blessing instead of the judgment. And I agree with you, Tony. I think I'm so encouraged by, there are tens of thousands, probably millions of people that will be praying tomorrow. There's a stirring in our nation. God is calling His people to prayer, and His people are responding. And that encourages me that God's not finished with America. There is that window of time. But I believe God is very close to drawing a red line, and we're very close to stepping over it. And when that happens, it'll be a point of no return. So right now, I believe we have the opportunity to return to God, rend our hearts, and ask Him to return to us. And I believe He will.
Yeah, and when God draws a red line, He doesn't ignore it.
That's right. And He's patient. He doesn't want anybody to come under His judgment. He wants all to come to repentance. And sometimes we mistake His patience for toleration. And we think, well, we've gotten by with it, so we're going to keep getting by with it. And then we begin to doubt that God is even up there, that He even cares. But as you and I know, the cross is a symbol that God will not tolerate sin. You know, and so cross is a symbol of God's grace and His love, that He sent Jesus to die for us. But Jesus took the judgment for our sin that should have been ours, it should have been mine. But judgment had to be meted out. So there had to be a price to pay. Blood had to be shed. So that shows you the horror of sin, you know, the infinite evilness of sin, that it would cost the Son of God His own life's blood. So God doesn't tolerate sin, but He will be patient with us, waiting for us to turn to Him and repent of our sin. And I believe the time is now to do that. I don't want to wish that I had done it and then find that it's too late because we've crossed the red line. So I believe that God has put me in this position with all my heart, Tony, to call God's people to pray now before we cross that red line and to stand in the gap for our nation.
I think there is an urgency of this hour, in this hour. I think that we have been given this window of opportunity, and I think the evidence would suggest that God is not yet finished with America. I think when God is finished with us, we'll know that. When we've crossed that line, I don't think we won't have to ask God, are you mad? I think we'll know. But as you said, He's generous, He's merciful and gracious to 1,000 generations. So God is ever patient. But I think part of the challenge we had in the church today, and I'm going to talk about the church, I'm going to talk about the world, I'm going to talk about the church, is that we've made God into our own image. And He is a loving God, He is a compassionate God, but He's also, as you've pointed out, a righteous and a just God. And we have to come to God on His terms, not ours. And you, in the National Day of Prayer, you're laying this out, that if we repent, if we come to Him, He will embrace us, forgive us, heal, and restore. And that's what we should be focused on.
You know, I believe the major problem, the primary problem in America, of course, bottom line is sin. But then the thing that's provoking God's judgment, I think, is the moral and the spiritual bankruptcy. And it's not as though we don't know better. You know, we've had generations of truth, generations of the gospel, generations of Bible teaching and terrific churches and preachers, including my own father, you know, stadiums packed with people, and that we've turned our back on God, that we've fallen away from Him. I feel like as a nation, we're losing our identity, if maybe we haven't already lost our identity. And we've lost that strong foundation of faith in the one true living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as a nation, the chaos, the confusion, some of the things that you were referring to in your segment before I came on are evidence, I believe, that God is missing. You know, God is backing away from us. And when He does that, He removes His hand of protection, His hand of blessing, the peace that we would have if He were still, you know, involved in our national life. And so it's time for us to call Him back in, to return to us. And God, if we turned Him, if as a church, God's people, if we would return to Him in repentance, rending our hearts, I believe He would return to us, and He would use us then as that vessel, the vehicle of peace and goodwill and reconciliation in our nation. I know He would, because God loves America and He longs to bless America, but He's not going to insist on that if America keeps telling Him to get out.
That's right. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Ann Graham Lotz, my guest. She is the chairperson of the National Day of Prayer Task Force. Tomorrow is the National Day of Prayer, first Thursday of May. And where can people find out more about how they can participate in one of these many, many events that are taking place around the country?
You know, I'm so glad you asked, because I'm zeroed in on our national observance, which will be tomorrow night here in the Capitol, but there are observances all over the nation. So in cities, counties, some of them are statewide, you can find National Day of Prayer observances. And if you go to nationaldayofprayer.org, and I'm not sure what you have to click on, but it'll direct you to where there is an observance nearest you. And then you don't have to register, sign up, you just go. You know, some of them, we have one in Raleigh, North Carolina, that will be, they'll be prayer walking our Capitol, and they'll be meeting downtown. And so there are different places like that where, you know, you can go and be a part of it. Then tomorrow night, we're going to have a national observance. For the first time, we've moved it into the Capitol. And you were so kind, Tony, in the very beginning to encourage me in this, but we'll have it in Statuary Hall. And it'll be televised, so it'll be or live streamed. You can go to nationaldayofprayer.org, or if you go to my website, anngrahamlotz.org, we'll have a link there. And beginning at 7:30, it'll go 7:30 to about 9 o'clock, we'll have our national observance live streamed, and it will be worldwide. And so I'm just praying that'll be sort of an exclamation point to all these groups that have met across the country. Then we come together for this national observance, and I'm praying, as a result of all of the millions of prayers being offered tomorrow, that heaven will be moved and our nation will be changed. In fact, I will tell you, I feel like God has whispered to me that this will be the beginning. You know, that this will be a turning, a beginning of a turning. If we will pray as we've been called to, if we would rend our hearts and not our garments, if we would return to Him, asking Him to return to us, I believe it's going to be the beginning of a change, just fundamental, deep down. Maybe it's a shift in the invisible world, but I know it's going to make a difference. I believe heaven will be moved.
And we're going to encourage people to participate in that. And tomorrow night, I'll be there with you at our nation's capital. Ann Graham Lotz, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you, Tony.
All right. All right, folks, don't go away. When we come back, Vicki Hartzler joins us on the other side of the break for more Washington Watch.
We at the American Family Association believe men should not be allowed to use women's restrooms or dressing rooms. Yet the policy of Target allows just that. Do you agree that this policy poses danger to our women and children? Then sign the Boycott Target Pledge. When you do, you're saying, until Target makes the safety of women and children a priority, I'll shop elsewhere. The good news is the boycott is making a big difference. A Target financial report indicates a dramatic drop in their sales and earnings. And a Wall Street Journal article clearly shows that Target CEO Brian Cornell regrets his company's policy announcement welcoming men to use women's restrooms and dressing rooms. We're convinced that together we can stop this insanity before more women and children become victims. Sign the pledge today and tell others about the boycott. Go to afa.net/target. That's afa.net/target.
back in 07, my father passed away. My mother had passed away 7 years earlier, and they left me a small inheritance, and I wanted to give back to AFA for all they have done for me.
Carol talks about her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I am an avid listener to AFR, 12 hours a day, and I hear Dan Celia talking about the charitable gift annuity. I liked what the gift annuity offered, donated a certain amount, and from that, I get a check every month, which is retirement income for me.
If you'd like to support the work of the AFA and receive a fixed income for life, a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation may just be what you're looking for. Learn more by contacting the Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
8 Days of Hope 13 is headed to Lafayette, Louisiana, June 4th to June 11th. Hi, I'm Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope is a faith-based ministry. We've gone all over the country to help families rebuild after natural disasters. We've helped almost 1,800 families rebuild their homes, sometimes from the ground up. Lafayette, Louisiana, and the whole state of Louisiana got hit by epic flooding last year in August. Almost 25 inches of rain fell, and almost $20 billion of damage was done. Literally 140,000 homes flooded. Think about that, 140,000 families waiting for somebody to be a glimpse of Jesus. You can be a skilled professional, or you can be somebody like me who's less skilled but wants to give back. Go to 8daysofhope.com. We provide the food and lodging, and you can learn a lot more about the ministry. And we can't wait to see you in Lafayette, Louisiana, June 4th to June 11th. For more information, go to 8daysofhope.com.
Listening to Washington Watch, I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. It's a busy week here in Washington. As I mentioned, the House working diligently to gather the votes to repeal Obamacare. And as of this afternoon, as I was speaking with House leaders, looks like they're on course for a vote tomorrow. Now, we'll see. We'll see. Very, very close, which... Not only does that repeal Obamacare, but it eliminates about 86% of the funding for Planned Parenthood. Now, I say that because I want to provide that context for earlier today. The House has passed an omnibus, which is a combination of 11 spending bills. It has to be through Congress by the end of this week or the government runs out of money. So this will fund government through the end of the fiscal year. Now, how does this bill line up when it comes to pro-life, pro-family values? Well, one of the best people to talk about that is Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler of Missouri's 4th Congressional District, and she is the chairman of the Values Action Team in the House. Vicki, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. Glad to be here.
Busy week on Capitol Hill, is it not?
Absolutely. It's a big one.
This omnibus bill, drawing some fire from conservatives, it can basically continues the government funding through the end of the fiscal year, allowing hopefully appropriators next year to get into actually writing spending bills, which we've not been able to operate by for the last 8 years. How does this stack up when it comes to the value issues, the omnibus? Is it pro-life, pro-family? What do you say?
Yeah, I think overall it is pro-life and pro-family. It certainly isn't everything that we wanted or hoped for, but when you're dealing with the Senate, dealing with the archaic rules that they continue to adhere by, which requires 60 votes, it forces us to have to talk to the Democrats, and so we didn't get 100%, but it does have a lot of those pro-life protections that are important to us, including that prohibits any federal funding for abortion for the federal health insurance plan, and prohibits abortion funding for D.C., and it has conscience protections in there for healthcare personnel that deal with the federal employees' health plan. It directs the Department of Agriculture to prevent them from doing any research dealing with the creation of genetic modification of human embryos. That's the amendment that was in there. There's also a provision that you talked about on your blog a couple of days ago that I think is very worthy of noting, dealing with pornography, stating that 9 different departments cannot and they have to put a filter, a block on all their computer networks for any pornography, which is sad that we have to require that, but sadly we've heard stories of different government employees getting in trouble in that regard, and so I you know, want to certainly appreciate Walter Jones, fellow colleague here, who pushed for this language, and we have that now, that prohibition of or the ability to make sure that that is blocked. So, you know, has increased funding also for abstinence education, and I think, you know, that's important, or sexual risk avoidance, I guess, is what we refer to that, and just making sure there's no harmful human embryo research, and the Basic Hyde Amendment, which prohibits any funding for abortion through federal funding. So there is a whole bunch of good things still in here.
And additionally, it increases spending for the military, border security, without raising domestic spending, which has usually been the case where in the last administration, if any additional funding went to the military, then non-military discretionary spending went up. In this case, they kept it down while raising military spending. So that in itself, for those that want a nation that's protected, is a good thing.
It is, and it's beginning. I'm on Armed Services Committee, and I believe we need far more money than this, but it was an increase, and so it's a start, but certainly in the fiscal year 18 budget negotiations that will begin very soon, I'm going to continue to advocate we get even more. But it was important to break that hold that the Democrats have had on this the last few years, saying you can't increase defense spending unless you increase it on the domestic side. So that was significant. And certainly for our military, it's important that we get a budget and not a continuing resolution, because they cannot enter into contracts for new weapon systems or modernization and new platforms like they need with a continuing resolution. So that was another reason I ended up supporting it in the end, is because we have to have that certainty for our military.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. My guest, Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler of Missouri's 4th Congressional District, as she mentioned, a member of the House Armed Services Committee, but also the chairwoman person of the House Values Action Team. Now, Vicki, let me ask you this question, because this has been getting pushback from a number of people on this, and that's why I mentioned the repeal bill that could be the repeal vote of Obamacare, which could be coming, which includes the defunding of Planned Parenthood. Some have raised the issue that there's $500 million for the federal funding of Planned Parenthood in this budget, because it's basically a continuation of the previous budget. That would not go into effect once the repeal bill is passed and that money is taken out of Planned Parenthood.
Yes, that is a very important piece, and one reason I'm supportive of the American Health Care Act, and I hope that we will bring that up and get to vote on it and pass it from the House tomorrow and send it to the Senate, because it's vital that we defund them from the Medicaid side. The good news with the funding for Planned Parenthood as far as what was passed today is that we have a new secretary in Health and Human Services in Tom Price, who is pro-life, and he's going to have control over a lot of the grant money that is sent to HHS dealing with contraceptions and women's health care, and he makes those determinations. And so even though there wasn't a prohibition that some of this go there, we know that Secretary Price is pro-life. And we believe he has the authority to direct that money to women's health centers that do not provide abortion. And so there was an argument made here that it's not necessary that in today's bill that we have that specific language regarding grants, because Secretary Price will already have that discretion. So I think that's important to note as well.
Several lines of defense for taxpayers on that issue. Vicki Hartzler, thanks so much for joining us today.
You bet. Thank you. Bye.
All right, folks, don't go away. On the other side of the break, our favorite general is here. Jerry Boykin joins us when we return.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
U.S. Treasury Department is considering ultra-long bonds. In other words, they are considering issuing bonds for anyone, say, retired. It may be a bond that is going to pay an interest rate for the rest of their life. These would be bonds that are 40 years or longer. It is something they are doing an internal review about to see if that's a possibility. And obviously, if you're going to do something like that, you got to be reasonably sure you're going to be able to sell those bonds. But that would certainly be one way of looking at funding some of the debt for a very long time. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, because yes, it seems as though we don't have a lot of focus in Washington, even under this new administration, in reference to our debt. We've been hearing a lot about a lot of different policies that all will focus on increasing our debt in the short term, but not enough talk about what we are going to do to take care of the debt that we currently have. Now, one downside to having so many business people in D.C., and I don't think the downside outweighs the good, but nonetheless, they tend to think of debt as a good thing and not an issue or not a problem. And that's probably because they are experienced in watching and seeing how growth inevitably does take care of debt. But as Donald Trump admitted, this is a little different than what was expected, a little bit harder than maybe he even anticipated. We'll have to wait and see where we head from here.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday afternoon. The website is tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at tperkins. And by the way, folks, I want to remind you, we're able to bring you this program because of folks like you across the country that support the Family Research Council. If you'd like to be a partner with us, bringing you information from newsmakers right here in Washington, D.C., we evade the fake news. And we bring you the real news from the real newsmakers. Go to tonyperkins.com. All right. U.S. officials report that Iran attempted to launch a cruise missile from a submarine in the Strait of Hormuz on Tuesday, but the test failed. Somebody didn't read the instructions, I guess. What does this mean? What are they doing? Are they afraid that North Korea is getting all the attention? Well, joining us now to talk about it, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He now serves as the Executive Vice President here at the Family Research Council, former commander of the U.S. Army's elite Delta Force. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony, and I brought you a donut.
But you took a bite out of it. All right. What does this mean?
Well, you know, it's hard to determine what it means when you're dealing with Iran because, we look at it through Western eyes. But here's what I think, just based on what I know about them and what they've done in the past. I think, first of all, they're standing in solidarity with Kim Jong-un because the Iranians have been a major, supporters of the North Koreans. Number two, I think that they are in their own way, they're saying, we're not afraid of you. It's whistling past the graveyard. We're going to go out here and test a warhead from a submarine. And then the worst thing that could have happened actually happened. It failed, just like it has for Kim Jong-un. So I think that this is multifaceted in terms of purpose. But I think the more important thing to me was the fact that we had one of their ships right off the bow of the USS Mahan, 1,000 yards away. They're going to provoke our Navy, and our Navy is going to sink one of those ships. And I think that Donald Trump has probably changed the rules of engagement to allow that. So I think that's a more dangerous thing than testing this missile right now.
This president really has a lot on his plate. Mm-hmm. I mean, we focus obviously a lot here on the domestic issues, and, we've been talking a lot about religious freedom and all of that, and he's addressing that. But, internationally, there is a lot going on from a foreign policy standpoint.
and national
Look,
security.
Look, he's, you know, you cannot deny that he has made a huge impact internationally with our allies as well as with our enemies. I think that our allies are starting to trust us again. I think that it's been, from my perspective, a brilliant strategy. Not only the missiles that were fired into Syria, but also the MOAB, and now the positioning of air defense systems in South Korea. I mean, he hadn't just gotten Korea and Iran's attention. He's gotten the world's attention. He's showing resolve, and I think that's what the world wants to see. So you talk about his successes or failures, but I'm telling you, from my perspective, he's been very successful in terms of national security and foreign policy.
Well, General, let's talk about this cruise missile that was launched from this midget submarine. What are the capabilities of Iran when it comes to missiles and such? Are they as advanced as North Korea, or where do they stand?
Yeah, I think they're probably a little better, but keep in mind, they've tested a lot of their stuff in Korea, but they've been testing and using, actually, for a number of years, not only the Scud missile systems, but they've also been using the Shahab missiles. And they actually have a fairly sophisticated Shahab missile that Shahab 4, I think, is what it is now, that, they can reach well into Europe. And remember this, that when Barack Obama came into office, he canceled a treaty with the Czech Republic and the Poles that would have put missile defense systems there that would have protected not only the Europeans, but would have protected the Americans just based on the trajectory of those. So I think Iran has a fairly sophisticated missile system. The problem is between U.S. and Israeli covert actions, we've really hit their program pretty hard. If you remember, we had the Stuxnet a few years ago.
Right.
We've had them blow up on the ramp when they try to put some kind of warhead on it, it would just blow up. And then on top of that, they've had several of their leading scientists that have gone out and gotten in their car and it's blown up one day. Well, I think you can assume that maybe there's some covert action there. And
or coincidence.
It could be just God's plan, you know. I don't know. But I think that it stands to reason that the Israelis, and with some support from us, have been very successful in that.
We're almost out of time. This launch, does this violate the U.N. resolution?
It does. Mm-hmm. U.N. resolution, I think, is 2133. This violates that. They are not supposed to test anything that has an intercontinental ballistic capability.
So what's the recourse?
Nothing. Just what the UN always does. They won't do anything. There may be a protest vote there, but they won't do anything. They'll give them a warning. There's nothing to stop them, Tony, unless we do it ourselves. Nothing to stop.
Another part of the world to watch. General Jerry Boykin, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Tony.
And go ahead and finish your donut. All right, folks, when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines. This is what I want to talk about. Tomorrow, National Day of Prayer event. I want to know, what is your prayer for America? Will you be joining the events tomorrow, and will you be praying for our nation? And what will you be praying for? That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with more right after this.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrades, Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrades. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order your family's copy today at afastore.net.
Join Frank Turek, Richard Land, Norman Geisler, Greg Kokel, and others for Southern Evangelical Seminary's National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 13th and 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Enjoy informative talks, a live debate, and a dialogue with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Plus, there's the premiere of the American Family Association documentary, The God Who Speaks. Early bird pricing ends August 1st. Visit ses.edu for details.
Physicians keep learning after medical school in order to better save lives. Shouldn't Christian leaders keep learning to better save souls? Hi, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and online around the world. Are you a Christian leader who thinks it's important to keep learning? WBS online weekend and evening classes allow graduate students to become better equipped to make disciples in a constantly changing world. For more information, visit wbs.edu.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. I am so often reminded of the verse, "They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane. Neither have they taught the difference between the unclean and the clean." Ezekiel 22:26. Most of you have heard of desensitization. I know you have. Little by little, people have become a little less afraid of the old taboos. There's a homosexual kiss in a Disney movie. No problem, they say. It was just one little segment, they say. There was a transgender scene. Oh, that was mostly missed by everybody except for those who are nitpicky, they say. The movie, The Beauty and the Beast. Where is righteous indignation? What about the decisions you make regarding what you entertain yourself with? What about what you are modeling before your children? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Tomorrow is the National Day of Prayer. And there will be events all across America. It's estimated that about 2 million people will participate in over 30,000 events that'll be held all during the day, some during the morning, some at noon, some in the afternoon, some in the evening. And as we mentioned, the one will be here in our nation's capital in Sanctuary Hall tomorrow night, which will be live streamed. Find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. 866-372-7234. Will you be participating tomorrow? And that's fine. I'd love to hear about it. But more importantly, I want to know, what is your prayer for America? And I believe we all should be praying, right? I pray every day for our country, for our leaders. But what's your prayer? What are you praying that God would do in America? You know, I'm praying. And the political is important, and all the policy that we're working on here, all important. But I'm going to tell you what I'm praying. My prayer is really for a revival. It is that God would, as we have seen him move, and I believe as we talked about with Ann Graham Lotz, he has given us a window, a reprieve, that the church needs to do what only the church can do. And that is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that's not just with preaching. It is preaching. It's in sharing our testimony, but it's in living out our faith. You know, when you go to work, you go to school, and you live out your faith, you are sharing the gospel. You're spreading the gospel. Now, it's not contained there. That's not all. We need to share the faith with words and with deeds. But my prayer is that God would bring revival to America as Americans and as Christians in this country live out their faith in an authentic way. And that's why we fight so aggressively for religious freedom. We do not believe that our religious freedom should be quarantined within the four walls of a church. We should be able to live it out in the business place, in our schools, our classrooms. Everywhere we go, we should be able to live according to our faith. So what's your prayer for America? 866-372-7234. Let's go to Kansas, where Lance is on the line. Lance, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So what's your prayer, Lance?
Well, I just pray that there will be religious revival here in Kansas, as well as the rest of the country and the world. It might be an unpopular opinion with us conservatives, and I consider myself a part of that group, but I just pray that we see our president, who has definitely been instituted by the Lord. Romans 13 tells us that, but that the Lord would continue to guide him into righteousness and into the path of love, and that our country would just be healed of the divisions that this last election caused, and that especially conservatives would learn how to separate being a Republican and being a Christian, because those two things don't necessarily go together, but that we would just define who we are as a movement, as the church.
All right. Thank you, Lance. If there was ever a time that the nation needed healing, and I mean, it's clearly evident that we're a divided nation. And I've often thought about that, Lance, in terms of I've seen it in my life. Just a little over 20 years I've been involved. I've been in elected office and been involved in the political realm. And never have I seen it more polarized and divided than it is today. State level, national level. I mean, it's very much so here on the national level. I mean, you can just see it in the way that the cable news networks cover the president. And it goes both ways. I mean, look, it was that way with Barack Obama. I mean, we clearly reached a new level of division during the Obama years, but it's gotten even worse. But, you know, the scripture also says that there will be this division toward the end of time. I mean, there'll be the wheat and the tares. There will be a clear delineation between what is good and what is evil. And I think we're seeing that. And now I think we can do more to work for the good of mankind, and we should strive to do so, but not be surprised. You know, what does light have to do with darkness? And what does righteousness have with unrighteousness? I mean, part of that is just a natural directions we're going, different directions. Lance, thanks so much for the call. 866-372-7234. What is your prayer for America? Let's go to Texas, where Mike is on the line. Mike, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good evening. I'd like to say that, I'm a retired military guy, 21 years in the military, and you see a lot of things going around in the world and everything, things happening in the United States, and it's just so much that's going on, and people are struggling, and people are frustrated, and people are looking for hope. My prayer, Scripture says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I pray for truth. We know that truth will make us free, and I think that we're seeping into bondage by the many things that we're bringing into our lives, into our families, the way that we're living. So America's is slipping into bondage. It's slipping to a state where evilness is capturing the minds, which is changing the morals and the values of America. And we need to open up Scripture and bring forth truth, which will make us free. Until truth does not come forward, we're not going to be free. We live in a country that's free, but we're slipping into bondage of evilness because of the mindset of so many that's pushing forth an agenda that is not a prosperous agenda for our health and for our survival and for our unity as a nation. And so I'm praying for truth.
Well, thank you, Mike. You know what? We cannot have unity without truth. I mean, truth is what brings us together. Now, people say, oh, no, truth divides you. What kind of truth are you talking about? Well, there's true truth. There is transcendent truth. There is truth We see it in God's word, and that is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We can't back away from that. We can't apologize for that. We can't deny it. We have to embrace it, and we have to proclaim it. And we should not be, now I'm not saying you get in people's face. We speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4. We have to bring forth the truth. And again, I go back, this is why religious liberty is so important. This is why we've been pounding the White House over religious liberty. And thank you all. All of those that signed the petitions, thank you. I delivered those yesterday to the White House. So thank you for signing those. That makes a difference. Over 160,000 combined with the American Family Association, the FRC, signed those petitions, and I took them to the White House yesterday. So absolutely, Mike, truth. We need to pray for truth, but we need to uphold truth in our own lives, in our families, and in our culture. We need to be able to live out that truth. We cannot live a lie, meaning hiding our faith and denying who we are and whose we are. That's why religious liberty is so critical. Thank you so much, Mike, and thank you for your service to our country. Let's go to Alabama, where Garth is on the line. Garth, welcome to Washington Watch.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. Appreciate y'all's work. As far as my prayer request, I would just that the scales would fall off America. I mean, we've had all the cultural manipulation done through media and stuff, and it's just like when they had all those videos of the selling baby body parts, the country should have went ballistic. But unfortunately, we were split right down the middle because people have been so programmed. So it's only God that can drop an algorithm or something in so that the brainwashing would actually have the opposite effect than those with the agenda intended. So if the scales will fall.
That's a really good point, Garth. I think it's a part of the scale, the blindness that he was referring to that's on the eyes of people, and the scripture speaks to that. It's also, I think, part of that is a desensitizing that takes place. That we see so much, we tolerate so much, we become desensitized to sin and its effects, to evil. And, you know, we need to be praying. Not only do the scales fall off of people that can see, but we need people to have an understanding of what evil is. And I think we've lost that understanding because we've been immersed in it in many ways. We've become comfortable with it. We need to be at a point again where, you know, as the scripture says, it was so bad they couldn't blush. They were unashamed of what they did. And I'm afraid that in many ways that's where we are as a country and a culture, is that we don't blush. We're not ashamed. And I think we need to have, that comes with the truth that we were talking about earlier. It comes with an understanding that there is right and wrong. And knowing that, you know, when we do wrong, we're accountable for that wrong. That there is an accountability coming for all of us. Gar, thanks for the call. Appreciate you listening and calling in today. All right, let's go to Missouri, where Chappie is on the line. Chappie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi.
How are you today?
How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Good. I want to pray for peace in the United States and the world, because I think we need it.
I don't think anybody would argue with you over that one.
Good.
We need peace. Yeah, I mean, America needs peace. I mean, we see it constantly. We've got demonstrations, or we've got riots, but internationally, around the world, I mean, it's a very, very, very volatile time. I mean, you see what's happening in North Korea. We were just talking about Iran. You've got all of the Middle East, Iraq. You've got Syria. You got Turkey. China, North Korea. Everywhere. So, yes, we need to be praying for peace. But peace, You know, we have to realize that we live in a fallen world where there is sin. And so this is a part of the pain of a fallen world. And we need to try to minimize that. And one of the ways we minimize it, and some people would say, well, you're being a little too simplistic. Okay. All right. So I am. But it comes back to spreading the gospel, because the gospel is the only thing that can transform lives, the hearts and minds of people. And as those hearts and minds and lives are transformed, guess what happens? Countries, communities are transformed. You transform from the inside out. So again, it comes back to the role that you and I play as Christians in this country and in this world. And so a part of that is not only, again, sharing our own faith, but internationally supporting missionaries, supporting groups like Samaritan's Purse that are working in these troubled regions of the world and meeting people's needs and sharing with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the path to peace. And in a time of great trouble, we have great opportunity. Chappie, thanks so much for the call. Very quickly, going to go to Oklahoma where Jared is on the line. Jared, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. My prayer is for love. Now, I've been watching the news. I've been studying on different things. I did 4 years in the military as well. And, you know, places like Dearborn, Michigan, and things like that, I've noticed where practicing Muslims are going around enforcing Sharia law. And it causes a lot of anger, a lot of hate, a lot of frustration. And, you know, of course, we have Antifa who's going around inciting riots in Portland, Oregon, and in California, and New York, and everywhere. And, you know, I pray that we can come together as a nation like we need to, like we should, mm-hmm. and just start loving one another to spread the word of God and teach each other love. And that's what I think this country needs more than anything, on top of the peace, integrity, and honesty, and truth is love.
Jared, thank you so much for the call. I've got to leave it there, folks. We're about out of time. But let me just put an exclamation point on what Jared said. The way we have love is we have to have God's love. And the way we get God's love is that we spend time with God and we pray. Because there's no way in the natural we can love the way God intends for us to love those that in many cases hate us, oppose us, reject us, vilify us. We still have to love them. Folks, out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow. Hope you will as well. Until then, remember the Apostle Paul says, when you've done everything you can do, pray, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand. You got it. Keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.